worship, to show our adoration and praise to him, because he's certainly worthy of all that we grant him. Amen? Amen. We want to take the time to acknowledge our visitors. We want you to know that we know you had to make an effort to come this way. And we like to acknowledge you at this time. And if you are visiting with us today, wherever you are, would you just stand so we could see? You don't have to say anything, but would you just stand? All visitors, keep standing. All visitors, if you're visiting, please stand. All visitors, keep standing, keep standing. Let us say welcome, welcome to the Church of Christ at Forest Hill. Now, if you're a first-time visitor, remain standing. Any first-timers, first-timers. First-timers enough. Praise the name of Jesus. I want to give you a token of appreciation. We believe that Forest Hill is a place where you can belong. And if you're looking for a church home, we hope you will consider us. We invite your Bible questions. We will endeavor to give you a Bible answer, any Bible question that you may have. And we trust this is the beginning of an ongoing relationship between you and the family and the people of God here. It's good to see long-term friend of mine, Brother Rodney Kraft. Raise your hand, Rodney. Rodney and I went to Southwestern together a long time ago. We went to Southwestern together. Rodney has been true to the purpose of the kingdom for a long time. He has been an inspiration. He was the go-to person on the campus when it comes to Bible. He was the go-to person. We all respected Rodney for his ability, for his effort, and for his work's sake. And it's so good to have you visiting with us today. And it's good to see you looking well still. Amen? And we thank God for that. I want to let the church know that on June the 15th, on a Saturday, from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m., we are having the Forest Hill Church of Christ annual picnic. Now, the details are in the church bulletin, but they'll have games, cards, dominoes, volleyball, basketball. I did not see chess, but we'll bring our chess board. And for all of you who, I don't play basketball anymore, and I don't do the volleyball thing much more, but now, dominoes, cards, and chess. I already got folks waving at me right now about that, okay? I don't know why everybody like to beat Brother White. They like to try to beat Brother White. But anyway, dessert volunteers, please see Sister Franklin, who's the coordinator. And we want everybody to come and share the joy with us on that great occasion. Make plans to come out. It's a chance for you to fellowship, get to know people that you don't get to know. Bring enough so that we can break bread with you. You know, I want to taste your cue too, you know. So bring some stuff with you when you come. Amen? Amen? We look forward to it, and we look forward to the great blessing. All of the glory belongs to you. And all of the glory belongs to you. All of the glory belongs to you. And all of the glory belongs to you. You deserve it. You deserve it. You deserve it. You deserve it. 'Cause my hallelujah belongs to you. And my hallelujah will to you. My hallelujah will to you. And my alleluia belongs to you. Amen. We are continuing in the series of mind renewal. And as we continue on this journey, we want you to know that this journey is designed to help all of us learn how to keep our minds where they need to be, to control our thoughts, and to make sure that our thoughts are such that they line themselves with the Word of God. So everything that we're doing now is designed to assist us in renewing our minds. Anybody need their mind renewed? You know, if we're honest, we all can learn some things about mind control. It's when our mind is out of control that we have all of the issues that we have in life, mind control. So I want us to start here, and let me see if this is going to, there we go. We want, as we focus our attention on this morning, I want us to use as a thought in mind renewal, catch those thoughts. We are commanded to catch the thoughts. I want you to listen to Paul's admonition. In 2 Corinthians 10:3, he says, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does." We're in this world, but we don't wage war as the world does. We're in the flesh, but we don't fight as a fleshly war. The weapons we fight with, and we are to fight the good fight of faith, are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Coming back to that. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obey Christ. We got to catch catch these thoughts. I dare say one of the most challenging spiritual things that we'll ever learn to do is to catch our thoughts. I want to suggest to you that we spend a lot of time monitoring others' behavior. In fact, we are great inspectors of how other people act, and we think we know by their disposition just about where they are. We think we know what they are thinking and what they are doing and what they aren't doing. And we have the full gamut, and it doesn't take us long before we analyze the lives of so many people and where they are, and we have judged them, prejudged them, and predetermined just about their lot. However, we have not learned how to manage our own thoughts. Our thinking is out of control. Been that way a long time. And the only thing that can bring it in check is when we are reminded how bad we are. And when we get the reminder, we see firsthand how little we have grown in the faith as it relates to mind control. And as a result, all of the bickering that we have comes from a lack of mind control. All of the power struggling we have comes as a result of lack of mind control. All of the lack of faithfulness we're experiencing comes as a result of a lack of mind control. As a matter of fact, if you don't learn how to control your mind, you will never be everything that God intended for you to be. You cannot allow your mind to have free rein to do whatever it wants to do. You have to bring the brain, your brain, into submission to your will. That's the task. That's the charge. That's what we're supposed to do. Now, God has given all of us the ability to quiet the noise in our minds. Have you ever felt like you had just too much going on in your head? It's just running back and forth. It's noise. This is going off, that is happening, this is going through. It's noise. And you are trying to process all of that noise. But God has given us the ability to be able to turn the noise volume down. He's given us the ability to do that. God has given us the ability to focus our attention on what the real current issue is. You see, sometimes we get distracted because of the noise. We get distracted because of what's going on in our mind. And we really don't fixate on what's really important because of the noise. And God has given us the ability to push all that noise aside and to be able to clearly think on what I really need to be thinking about right now. What an ability God has given us. And yet we squander it because we never work at it. God has given us all of us have the ability to capture every thought, filter it, and make sure that it lines up with the will and word of God. Every one of them. trying to see if I know somebody here. I do know somebody here. Okay. How you doing, man? Good to see you. To see you. God has given us all the ability to bring it all into control. Capture it. And God has given us the ability to dismiss all the distractions that come our way. Now we have the ability. He's giving it to everybody. Then why then, if we have the ability, we are not able to do it and execute? Let me explain it to you simply. God gives every baby that is born naturally the ability to progress and learn to walk. Every one of them. But when you watch a baby getting started, you would think just about they ain't gonna make it. Walking ain't in their future, okay? You know, you think you just look at a way to start. But you know what? They watch you walk. They watch everybody else walk. And pretty soon, they keep on trying, though they fall down. Though it doesn't work right. Though they look wobbly as they're doing it, they never quit until you see them walking. And then when they start walking, they never think about walking again. Until we make the effort to control our thinking, until we make the effort to control our thoughts, until we work. And the first time you do it, it's going to feel like, Lord have mercy, I can't do this. This ain't going to work. It ain't working. Well, you're just starting. But if you keep on stumbling forward, I promise you, you'll be able to filter every thought, catch it when it's wrong, throw it out of your mind, and keep on rolling, and you won't even think about it. Because now it's a part of how you live your life. It's just like you learn how to walk. But God has given us all those abilities. We have the ability to do all those things. However, we've trained ourselves out of this natural and necessary skill. We have taught ourselves how not to think and capture our thoughts because it takes effort. And if we want to be honest, we're lazy mentally. We're just lazy. It's easy not to capture your thought. It's easy to let your mind just go anywhere. It's easy to just think whatever you want to think. That's easy. It's discipline to say, no, I'm not going to think like that. No, I'm not going to meditate on that. No, I'm not going to allow that in my heart. Now, that takes work. And you are required to do this work. And failure to do so is going to hurt you. You see, it's natural because God designed our brains to do this. One of the things you got to understand is God, we are wonderfully and marvelously created, and God has made us in such a way that we have a greater capacity to do more things than we ever could imagine if we ever try. The reason why we are where we are is because we don't make any effort. No mental effort, that is. You see, we are required to do so much more, and this is necessary because it calms our spirits. Pay attention to this. When you control your thoughts, it brings your spirit into peace, so that you can tune in and finally hear God. You can hear God. You know why? because you quieted the noise in your head and you are able to listen to the Spirit that dwells in you. You can't do that with the noise. You can't do that with your thinking all over the place. You have to quiet it down so you can finally hear him. So how connected are we to God, really? We sing about the Spirit of the Lord, may it rise upon us. We sing, we can sing, but how connected are we, really? How connected are you? You see, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must have a focus so that their spirit can align with God's spirit. And if you are not aligning with God's spirit, you are not connected to God. It takes more to be a child of God than just showing up every week. When do you become like your daddy and take on characteristics of your father? When you learn how to think like he thinks. Well, how you gonna learn to think like him and you can't hear him? You don't hear him. You see, we are obligated to connect to God, so the more mindful and the more intentional we are at capturing our thoughts, the more involved and dependent we are on God. Stay with me. The more you are cognitive of your process to keep your thoughts in control, the more involved with God you are, and the more dependent on him we are. You know why? Because you have to learn how to rely on him to help you do this. You don't do this on your own strength. This is a spiritual act. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Well, if they're not carnal, they're spiritual. And if they're spiritual, you have to depend on God to help you do spiritual things. The less mindful and the less intentional we are at capturing thinking, then the less involved and the more independent we are from God. The more independent we are. Listen, listen, listen. God has set it up for us to walk with him all the time. There's a natural progression that takes place in children where they want to get away from the supervision and support of the parents. It's a natural progression. You know, they don't want you to walk them here. They don't want you to take them there. They want to do it on their own. And as a maturing person, that's okay. But in spirituality, God never intended for us to walk alone. He never intended for us to walk by ourselves. So when you don't capture your thinking, you are in essence saying, I don't need you to walk with me. I don't want you to walk with me. I got this. Really? Really? You got this. Your thoughts that you have right now are leading you down a path of destruction, and you're trying to tell me you got it? You are confused, you're frustrated about life, and you're trying to tell me you got it? You are doubting whether you can make it, whether things are going to come out your way, and you're saying you got it. You are walking without God, and as long as you walk without him, you will never have the strength, the courage, or the fortitude to excel in any area of your life because you're trying to do it by yourself. Listen to Romans. Listen to Paul. Those, in Romans 8:5, those who live as their human nature tells them to, have their minds controlled by what human nature wants. Now think about this. If you allow your mind to just run rampant, then you are following the whims of your nature. You don't like somebody, it's okay to think, I don't like them. Don't want to talk to them. Ain't got nothing to do with them. Just let them. And you feel okay with that. That's human nature. You have to be controlled by the Spirit of God in order for that thought to be locked up, thrown out, so you can treat your neighbor, your brother, even though they may have wronged you, like God says you ought to treat them. I'm trying to help somebody today. Listen, for those of you who ain't ready, just hang on. In a few weeks, I'll be on something else, okay? But those of you who want to grow, I'm trying to help you. Listen, those who live as human nature tells them they have their minds controlled by what human nature wants. Those who live as the Spirit tells you have their minds controlled by what the Spirit wants. Now listen, there is a gentle nudging in every child of God where God is trying to lead you every step of the way where He wants you to go. But He can't do that if you don't control your thinking. He can't lead you because your nature's leading you. You're following what feels right to you. You're following what seems right to you instead of following what is right. And that's what God says. So to be controlled by human nature results in death. To be controlled by the Spirit results in life and peace. Wait a minute. Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Well, there is no great life if you don't have peace. I don't care how much money you have. If you don't have peace with God, you ain't living. And the only way you have peace with God is to line your thinking with His thoughts. And the only way you're going to do that is you got to stop being lazy and start disciplining yourself to say, I got to catch those things, those thoughts that come my way. I got to do them. Now, we have to capture thoughts like, I can't do this. We can't do this. And every time we tell ourselves what we can't do, we reinforce in the subconscious the fact that you ain't gonna do. That's what you're saying. I ain't doing that. Because there is nothing without the help of God that you don't have the ability to do. Wait a minute. Paul says, I can do what? 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 Then where did this I can't do come from? Where'd that come from? I can't do this. I ain't able to do this, we say. So that's how we act, right? It's too hard. It's just too hard. Yeah, I tried to live like that, but this is too hard. And you got to give up this. You got to do that. Can't do this. And that's just too hard. I don't know how people live like that. You can't do that. It's never worked before. We tell people to trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. We tell them in all your ways acknowledge Him and He will direct you. Well, that ain't worked for me before. I was trusting in Him and ain't nothing changed. I'm still in the same place. It ain't paying off. Those are the thoughts that we are having. And when you have those kind of thoughts, they counteract faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. Faith is able to look at the word, not your circumstance, and trust the word over your circumstance. They don't like me. They don't like you. And do you know, we look at folk, they look at us, and we determine, well, they don't like me. They ain't got to say nothing. Just look a certain way. You know, them folk down there, they don't like me. Well, have you talked to anybody? No, they ain't talked to me either. Well, you left just as soon as we said amen. You ain't shook nobody's hand. You ain't introduced yourself to no, but they don't like, that's the thinking. So how you gonna be a family of God and you have in your mind that people of God don't like you for some reason? Listen, you can't control what somebody else does or doesn't do. But you are to control what you think and do. Nobody lives this way. And that's one of the problems with Christianity. See, we talk about all the things that Christians are supposed to do, and in our mind, we tell ourselves, well, nobody lives like that. Now, we don't say that publicly, but we look at the example of folks say, yeah, they ain't living like that. And we look over here, we're looking for mistakes. No, they don't live like that. We're looking for somebody. No, ain't nobody living. And so we determine all that is good theory. But you cannot live like this. Now, if you're thinking this, if this is part of your thought process, how in the world are you going to discipline yourself to do what God says and you don't believe it's doable? You don't believe you can love an enemy. Shut up. You don't believe that you can treat folk right that do you wrong. You don't believe that's doable. Well, if you think that way, it's certainly not doable for you. Because you are not willing to harness your own will and will yourself to do God's will. And you do God's will regardless as to how you feel about it. Serving God ain't about feeling good. It's about doing good. You ain't gonna feel good all the time. Right then, in the moment. But I promise you, afterwards you thank God. Ooh, I'm so glad I did that. Ooh, I'm so glad I kept my mouth closed. Ooh, I'm so glad I didn't say what I was thinking. Because I sure felt like saying it. But you discipline yourself, and afterwards you're thankful. You see, but doing that in one moment versus as a way of living is two different things. We are trying to learn how to live like this all the time instead of having flashes, glimpses of Christianity. Ooh, I was a Christian for about 5 minutes. Man, I held it together for 5 minutes and fell apart. Now, listen to Paul. For though, he says, 2 Corinthians 10, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. And you need to understand that we are in a spiritual war. Whether you are competing or not, you're in the war. Whether you are engaged or not, you're in the war. You're just losing. That's all. But you're in it. You're just being whooped, as they say. But you're in it. But though we live in this world, we do not wage war as the world does. Now, how does the world wage war? The world looks at everything and tries to find some type of harmony in what is being done based on how I feel. In other words, we have a filter that says, if they do me wrong, do what? Do them wrong. If they treat me wrong, treat them wrong. If they mistreat me, they don't have nothing to do with them. That's world. That's what the world. So we fixate in our minds how we're going to deal with folk based on how the world has structured. And we get okay with that. We even put it on Facebook. I don't like you, and I'm going to tell the world I don't like you. You ain't no good, I'm going to tell the world you ain't no good. Okay. But the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. Now, you and I have offenses and defensive weapons at our disposal 24/7. Whether you use it or not, you got it. And you know, perhaps we have just faltered in not training you for spiritual warfare, because you need to know how to use what God has given you. On the contrary, they have divine power. Divine power. Divine. A few years ago, when I realized, Roscoe, that God has power that he divinely gives to me, I started praying for divine intelligence. Because he promised he would give it. Divine power. That's power that transcends flesh. And if I ask for power that transcends flesh, and he grants me with power that transcends flesh, then it ain't my power, it's the power that I'm using from him. But he'll give it to you too, you just don't ask. And then you want to get mad at me because I do. Well, he think, yes, I am, because I got divine power. Yes, I am. Yes, I can, because I use divine power. And you could too, if you worked at it. See, they have divine power to demolish. Where are the strongholds built? In your mind. The strongholds are not in your yard. You don't need divine power to get some torn down in your yard. You do need divine power to tear down strongholds in your mind. Strongholds. See, there are some folk here right now who don't believe they ought to be happy. They don't believe it. Don't believe they ought to be blessed. They don't believe it. You know why? Because they have told themselves over and over again and looked at the examples of things that have gone wrong in their life, and they've determined, you know, happiness just ain't in the cards for me. And so, because of their thinking, they gravitate to folk that make that become a reality. Then you find folk that fulfill your prophecy. Ain't no good thing. I ain't never going to find nobody good. You probably ain't. Because you talking like that and believing that. And I promise you, you're going to be attracted to the very folk that's going to help that become a reality. But that started with you. You thought that. God ain't never told you you ain't supposed to be your best. But you believe that you can't do no more than this. Listen, you got divine power to demolish strong. The strongholds are in your mind. You have the ability to bring down the things that have been wearing you out in the middle of the night down once and for all, and where they never bother you again. But you got to catch the thought to do it. You got to catch it. Okay? You see, we demolish arguments and every pretension. Anything that argues against the knowledge of God. Now listen, you need to understand something. God has already told us in his word the outcome of our lives. And in case you didn't hear, and we win. In case you didn't hear, we win. Now, I don't care what it looks like. We win. I don't care what you're going through. But he's promised us that we win this thing. He is going to give every child of his a joint heirship with Jesus Christ. And guess what? Can't nobody take it from you. It's yours. But see, if you don't know that, you act like you ain't gonna make it. And that's why so many Christians hoping they gonna get in. Lord, I sure hope I make it in. What? Oh, I sure hope it works. You know, I did get baptized. And I try to go to church and take communion every week. And I hope. That ain't how you need to think. A long time ago I'm going to heaven side. Yes, sir. I'm through with that one. I'm working on how I'm going to be rewarded when I get there. Now that's what I'm working on. Great reward is what I'm looking for. I don't just want plan to get there. I plan to get there with. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive. Now, here's the part. You have to take captive every thought and make it obey Christ. Every thought that flickers in, that is disobedient to Christ, you gotta stop it. You say, how? In Jesus' name. There have been many times I've had to say, in Jesus' name, I need this thought out of my head. Because I knew that one wasn't right. In Jesus' name. And I've never, ever, ever called on his name where he didn't pull that thought out the moment. Never. Every time. Oh, in Jesus' name, I need this stopped in my head. I don't use that to stop folk. I use it to stop me. Because if I can stop me, everything else will be all right. I ain't got to worry about you if I'm all right. Am I helping anybody? If you don't use the divine power you possess then to capture those thoughts, you risk spiritual and physical harm. if you don't learn how to control your thinking, you risk spiritual and physical harm. Listen, from spiritual, you risk spiritual harm by allowing fear, worry, and doubt to rule over you instead of faith, hope, and love. Now, there are two ruling forces in your life. You're either thinking with faith, hope, and love, or you're operating out of fear, worry, and doubt. You're either in faith, hope, and love, thoughts, or fear, worry, and doubt. Faith, hope, and love, or fear, worry, and doubt. And you have to be able to determine which one it is when it comes out. When the thought comes up, you have to say, is this a faith, hope, and love? Or is this thought from fear, worry, and doubt? You have to say that. Because nobody can see that but you and God. You and God. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God hath not given us, he hath not given us the spirit of fear. Most of the things that we worry about never come to pass. But we spend an awful lot of time worrying about them. Ooh, I sure hope that tornado don't come my way. Oh, Lord, I sure hope the flood don't come my way. Oh, I sure hope I don't get a drunk driver today. You see, you have to operate based on a spirit. God doesn't give you the spirit of fear. Anytime you're operating, and let me tell you, fear is one of the greatest motivators for the wrong. For the wrong. When you don't have proper confidence in you, you fear anybody else's ability around you. And you become uncomfortable with their ability because you are measuring yourself by them. Rather than thanking God for what God is doing for them and thanking God what he's giving you. But you can't appreciate what God does because you're operating out of fear. 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 Fear makes you want to be number one. You're operating out of fear, not faith. God hadn't given you that spirit of fear, but of power. You and I have power to do right, not power to do anything you want. We have love, the power of love, and of a sound mind. In other words, you don't allow the circumstances that you're looking at to dictate your attitude about them. Because you got a sound mind. You're able to look past the stuff and see God with a sound mind. Now that's spiritual. But then there's this physical thing. You also risk physical harm. Stress. See, when you don't get your thinking right, you invite stress into your life. There's normal stress, but then it gets accelerated because of how you are looking at things. So that stress leads to heart disease. All that is about your thoughts. High blood pressure. That's your thinking.
The way you are approaching it is causing all kind of harm in your body. And God never intended for his children to suffer like that. You know who brought that on? Do you know who brought that on? And do you know how you did it? It's your thinking. That's hard to swallow sometimes. I know. Hard for you to deal with. Diabetes. All of these physical conditions can be brought on by your thinking and not using divine power. Let me help with something. People tell me, sometimes they see me and say, Brother White, you don't look good. I say, I don't receive that. I do not receive that. That's your opinion. I'm not taking that on. I think you need to, no, you need to stop talking to me right about now. Okay. All right. Because I am not going to allow you to plant that in my mind. I refuse. No, not like that. It's how you think. And you have to capture those. Do you not know you can sit around and think yourself sick? You ever been so tied up with this discombobulated thinking, and then all of a sudden your back get to hurting? You feel pains in your chest. You get a tightness in your lungs. Your heart starts palpitating. Boom, 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 boom. You ain't working, you're thinking wrong. And you're doing it to you. You're doing it to yourself. You have to get your thoughts. Listen to Paul. Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about any what? Now listen. Let me tell you. You got to learn how not to be anxious or worried about nothing. You have to learn. They doing this and they getting ready to do this. Hold up. I'm going to eat tomorrow. I'm going to eat today. Light's still on. Okay. Air still cool. Okay. Legs still working. Okay. What you say? They getting ready to do what? Well, see, I ain't going to get excited about that. Because the same God that brought me through everything else I've been through is going to bring me through this also. They fitting to do. I don't care what they getting ready to do. Have at it. And watch my God take care of me. Because I'm his child. I'm not shocked when God blesses me. That's what he's supposed to do. My children, my grandbaby don't get excited when I do stuff out of the way. She thinks that's what Papa's supposed to do. Well, when God blesses me like that, I don't get excited. That's what he's supposed to do. That's what he said he would do. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything. Now, wait a minute. Your anxiousness takes place in your mind. It's how you think about your circumstances. That's what's making you uneasy. That's why you're having trouble sleeping at night. A few years back, we were going through stuff. You know, there's always something going through at church. We were going through stuff, and I was taking that stuff home.
And this is a true story. And I'm meditating on it at night. Maybe I ought to do this and say that. And maybe that. And I'm meditating. Went to the doctor. Had my annual checkup. Doctor said, "What's wrong with you? What you doing?" I said, "I ain't doing nothing. Ain't doing nothing. You doing something. Because your pressure out of alignment. Your numbers all over the place. What you doing?" I got to thinking about it. You know what? I'm spending too much time on stuff I can't control. Okay, Lord, I get you. You done gave me my message, okay? Get your thinking in order, White. And I started sleeping at night. And I divorced myself from what was happening so I could live. And when I got myself together, I engaged again. I got my thinking right. You see, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, you got to pray and petition God. Lord, give me what I need. Then watch this. And I thank you for giving it to me, even though I ain't got it yet. You got to learn how to thank God for what's coming, not what you got. You can't just thank God. Lord, thank you for what I get. No, 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 no. When you really get your mind right, you are thanking for what he's going to do. And he hadn't done it yet. And you living just like he's already done it. With thanksgiving, you present your request. Watch this. And the peace of God. God will give you some peace that transcends all human rationale. Wait a minute. Why are you so happy? Your light's off. You ain't got no job. You don't know what you're going to get next week. Why are you so happy? Because I know him. And he gives me peace that surpasses all understanding. I know it don't make sense to you, but I'm thanking him for what he's about to do in my life. And the peace of God. You haven't lived until you've experienced a peace that transcends all your human rationale. And it brings calmness. You lay down and you close your eyes, Brother Brooks, and you don't think about none but them sheep that's jumping over the fence. It transcends all understanding. Watch this. That peace will set up guard. This is a military term. Guard your hearts. God will give you a peace that will put sentinels, guardsmen, forces around your heart and protect your heart from stuff that will negatively impact you. He'll guard your heart and your mind. Watch this. He'll guard your heart. That's your feelings. God will protect you in such a way to where you don't have to feel bad when things ain't always right. That's your heart. He'll protect your thoughts. That's your mind. So that your thoughts don't run off the spectrum thinking about all the bad scenarios that can take place. You know, if this happened, that might happen. And that happened, this might happen. And this happened, that. God will protect all of that. You're spending all that time and you're not allowing the Spirit of God, divine power, to help you. He'll guard your feelings and he'll guard your thoughts. When you don't allow your thoughts to be anxious, but you pray, Lord, You know what I need. And I'm thanking you already for it. And he gives you peace. And you're still in the circumstance, but he's put a sentinel around you, protecting your thoughts, so you feel all right. How you doing? I'm better than good. But you ain't got no job. I'm still better than good. But you ain't. That's okay. I'm good. I feel all right. And there are times when people want you to feel a certain way. They say, what's wrong? You ought to feel like this because I know what's going on in your life. Because that's how they would feel. And when you don't feel that way, they think something wrong. Sometimes when you lose somebody and you ain't grieving like folk think you ought to grieve. You know, you sure you all right? I'm fine. Well, you ain't cried enough. Well, how much is enough? You see, God, he's giving me peace about that. Yeah, I know my dad is gone, and I ain't going to see him no more till I see him on the other side, but I got peace. So don't worry, I'm okay. I'm okay. And that's what people, they don't understand why you're going to be okay when they wouldn't be okay. That's because they don't trust him. They don't understand his will. It is appointed unto men once to do what? Did you not get the memo? Somebody gonna die. But after that comes the judgment. And then he'll give me a peace that surpasses all understanding. Now, but how do we catch these thoughts? I got to close now. When you're in a bad situation. How you catch the thoughts when you're in a bad situation? Because, see, sometimes we're in a bad place and stuff is really bad. And we think, man, ain't no way for me to think well because I'm in a bad place. Turn over with me to Luke 15. Luke 15. And I want you to see the prodigal. I don't have time to take you through the whole story. You know how he left home, right? He was on high. He left home with everything, went out, spent all of his money, wasted all of his money, you know, had a good time partying, and he ended up in a hog pen. Nobody would give him anything. And there he is, feeding hogs. You can't get no lower than that for a Jew. He's feeding swine. Everybody with me? Okay, now, he's in the hog pen talking to himself. So the Bible says in verse 17, when he came to his senses, where do you come to your senses at? In your mind. When you get your mind right. You see, sometimes you can be in a bad place and get your mind right. You can be going through a bad thing and get your mind right. You don't have to have everything rosy before you get your mind right. Sometimes you had to go through a journey before you could get your mind right. But when he came to his senses, he started thinking right. This is what he said. Now, wasn't nobody down there with him, so he's talking to himself. Everybody with me? He's in the hog pen. Ain't nobody down there with him. So he said to himself, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. My daddy's slaves got food left over. I'm starving to death. You know, I'm going to set out and go back to my father.
I know I messed up, but I'm going back anyway. I know I did wrong. I know I shamed him, but I'm going back anyway. And I'm going to say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against thee. I am no more worthy to be called your son. Just make me like one of your servant hired men, and I'm going to be all right. It's better than being in this hall pit. Now watch this. And when he thought that, so he got up. See, sometimes we think about doing the right thing, but that's all we do is think. We don't ever get up and do it. He didn't just think about it. He got up. Where was he? He was in the hall pen. So he got up out of the hall pen and said, I'm going back home. You know, it was a good thought in the hall pen, but he could have talked himself out of it by saying, you know what, my dad ain't going to take me back. You know, my dad ain't gonna take me back. You know, I did him so bad. I treated him like I wish he was dead. So how in the world am I gonna go and form the words to say to him, Daddy, you ought to make me a servant. He ain't gonna do nothing but kick me out. I might as well stay where I am. This is my lot in life, and I brought it on myself, and I just might as well face it. I'm doomed to live this way. But the boy got up. He got up, worn and tattered and raggedy, and started heading home. And all the way thinking, I'm going to tell my daddy, I've sinned, and I don't want you to make me the son. Just make me like a hired servant, okay? And that's going to be all right. He's on his way home. Sleeping on the side of the road, waiting to get home. Sleeping, hungry, going home. Going home, why? What's at home? My dad is there. My daddy will make me a servant. I know he'll do it. I'm thinking that anyway. So he's just going to have to tell me no because I'm going. I'm going on home. He gets in the neighborhood, and his dad sees him. Oh, you know the story. Dad sees him, far off, and starts running to him. Fell on his neck, kissed his dirty son. His son said, Father, he's been rehearsing this a long time. I sinned against him before heaven. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Before he could say, make me. Put on some shoes on my boy. Put a robe on his back. Somebody kill that calf over there. Put my signet ring on his finger. Because this boy was dead. He's alive again. He was lost and now he's found. You know what got him out of the pen? His thinking. He got up. He got up. I don't care how good you think it is to come to God. You know, I know God will forgive me, but nothing happens unless you get up. And I know you've been tittering on. You know, I need to change my life. You know, my life ain't where it ought to be. You know, I ought to change. You need to get up. Make a decision and live by it. Well, I don't know what I'm going to do when I get up. He didn't know what his daddy was going to do either. But he got up and he went home. And look how it turned out. His daddy welcomed him home. You see, you got to catch those thoughts. You got to catch the way you think. If you don't do nothing else, you got to catch your thoughts. Don't be conformed to this world. But be transformed. By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just and pure, whatever things are lovely and of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things.
If you're here and you haven't captured your thoughts, I want you to know it's not all loss. Wherever you are, God can start with you right now and start helping you to mold and change your life in such a way to where you would not recognize your thought process 6 months from now. But you got to start by going. You got to come to Him. Jesus said, come to me, all you that labor. If you're laboring and you're thinking and you're heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn about me. Because I'm meek and lowly of heart. You're going to find rest into your soul. Because see, my yoke is easy compared to what you're going through. And my burdens, walking with me is light compared to walking without me. So there must be somebody here who's ready to capture the thoughts and stop telling yourself what you can't do in the Lord, what you can't be in the church, what you can't handle. You need to start saying, I can and I will, because I'm going to Him and I'm going to give Him my best effort. And whatever I do, I'm going to do it in His name. And I'm going to look for the best, and I'm going to thank Him in advance. Even though nothing has changed, I'm going to thank Him anyway. So whoever you are, and wherever you are, if you need to come, start today. Start renewing your mind right now while we're together standing and singing. Won't you come right now? Won't you come right now?
He's sweet, I know. He's sweet.
God bless you.
I know.
Won't you come? God bless you.
You know that storm.
Oh, this is your time. This is your time. And I know you've been planning on coming back to God. I know you've been thinking about giving your life back to God. I know you've been saying, you know I need to change. But why not now?